But we got a whole lot that we can be thankful about. Amen. Mark chapter 3, 13 to 19, our verses. And today we want to talk about the relationship between intimacy and ministry. The relationship between intimacy and ministry. This is a good passage for us. Because this is a passage. This passage is a model for making disciples. It's kind of got a couple of ideas I want to look at when it comes to making disciples. And, you know, that's what our vision and our core values in our Bibles all emphasize is making disciples. And if you would look into this very quickly, and verse 14, and he appointed the 12 whom he also named apostles. So, and here's the two things I want you to get there with the whole sermon is based upon this 14. So that they might be with him. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Y'all see that? So that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. Two steps there. First step, so that they might be with him. Second step, that he might send them out to preach or do ministry or make disciples. Two steps. Amen. Y'all, everybody see me? All right. So that they might be with him. That's intimacy. And he sent them out to preach. That's ministry. Intimacy must always come before ministry. I think sometimes we that's a part of ministry that we miss. It's good to minister with whatever gifts God has blessed you with. Gifts of teaching, gifts of health, gifts of counsel, other gifts of helping and serving. And all the other gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us individually and corporately. But I'm saying before you begin to minister in your area of gifting or in any area of service, before ministry, there needs to be intimacy. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God before you can minister with people. Intimacy with God is vital before ministering with people. And I'm hoping that in the next few moments I can make that clearer. Or either if you already have that down, give you a reminder of that. Jesus, and I'm glad he put it in also. So first comes intimacy. I think what helps me, what's really vital for me, amen, too, if I want to start my day right in a way that I can have effective day at serving or glorifying God or ministering for God, whether in whatever context it may be. be, whether it's family or church or profession, if I'm to be faithful to Him, it's expedient that I first begin by spending time with Him. If I miss spending time with Him, it changes the dynamics of the whole thing. Now, and you can tell later on in the day. Thing is, you got to keep that in mind, because sometimes you think, what you'll say is, it's all right for me to miss this time. It's all right for me to miss it this moment. But then if it's all right for you to miss it this morning, you'll think it's all right for you to miss it the next.
Come on now. Come on.
I'm trying to show you how important it is to get with God.
Right.
And we need to look at that, and really, y'all, look at that. It's not something you have to do, but something you get to do. Don't come to it with out of a sense of obligation. But it's something I get to start my day spending time with the Creator of the universe.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
What a way to start the day. And then I can submit, bring my day under His lordship and His authority. I give my day to Him. And I've learned when I give my day to Him, when it comes back to me, it's an awesome day.
Yes, sir.
Now, corporately, that's as an individual. Corporately, we do that not at the first of the day, but we do it at the first of the week. At the first of the week, we gather into this glory, and then I feel glorious gathering. We don't work on it, we work on making it more glorious. It ought to be a glory, it ought to be a gathering that's full of glory. It ought to be a gathering where things happen to show you how good God is. His glory should be seen in our gathering. When we come together,
amen,
and talk about how good He's been.
Yes, yes.
And we look around at each other. And when we look around, we notice as time passes how God is changing lives.
Yeah.
You say, God, oh God. We look back at what we and others were when we first began to follow Christ.
Right.
And how full He brought us.
Yeah.
You say, well, man, what a God.
Amen.
And then folks just begin to tell you what God has done for you.
Amen.
Somebody on his side, you just come in a general conversation. Folks will tell you what God has done for you.
Yes, sir.
And then, you know, sometimes what happens, you going through something, and all of a sudden, it's out of nowhere. Somebody come telling you what God has done for them, and that's the same area that you need God to bless you in. Or that's the same thing you're struggling with.
Yeah.
Listen. That's why this gathering is so glorious. And then, not only that, but when we come together, God's presence meets us.
Amen.
He's present with us. His manifest, we ought to be able to experience His presence. I know even when we were like marching, before we built this building, we were marching around and praying. And when we had our corporate prayer, we just prayed that this was a place, amen, even when people drive up on the parking lot, that they would be able to experience the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We need to continue to pray for that. That His presence. So that's that glorious.
Yeah.
That's how we mean, yeah, yes, you do. So, but I like to start, because if I don't start my week right, if I don't start my week in His presence, then sometimes a week don't work.
Man.
Because this is where I kind of submit my week to.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Got to sit with, submit my week. And we should be doing that corporately. But not only that, we come in that intimate time. This is the most important, I think, part of the intimate time. To be lavish with His love. Somebody find that verse for me, 1 John 3, 1 through 3. We want to read these verses. Who going to find that for me? Raise your hand. All right, to the chorus. Going to get that one. Now I need somebody to do Psalms 86, 5. Sure, got that Psalms 86, 5. And Zephaniah 3, 17. Man, Zephaniah, I may not be able to find Zephaniah. See why you get no hand on Zephaniah. Yeah. Anybody want to do Zephaniah? Zephaniah. You can look at the table contents and find it. Zephaniah 3:17. I want to talk about this. How God lavished, how we are lavished with His love. Zephaniah 3:17, Psalm 86 and 5. In 1 John 3, 1 through 3. All right. I'm ready for that 1 John. Hold up. Let me get your mic. That's how they do on my. Get that woman name shut. But I always show you, I always bring your mic. But if you hear it, you hear that. All right.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure.
Amen. It says, what manner of love He has bestowed. Now some verses say, has lavished. That means He just poured it out. God just poured His love out on you. Because we are His children. Then like a parent pours their love out upon their children, is the way God pours His love out upon us. Alright. Next one is I can't bring them. But bring the mic in front of the speaker because it's wrong.
For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee.
All right. Hope I had that right. All right. And the last one?
I don't have to say it.
You got the last one?
Will rest in His love. He will jar over thee with
sin. All right. And I think sure, man, I preached on that one before. But God loves you so much. You know how He loves you and rejoice over you with the same?
Yeah.
He didn't love you so much. He loves you so much, He doesn't jar. Yeah. And sometimes that love is poured out. Can you think about God loves you so much, He's saying about you? You are. That's something. See, when you wake up in the morning and you meet a God that loves you so much, He's saying about you. One that does not only that He don't just give you a dab with His love, but He lavishes and pours is not based on us. God's love is placed on us. Y'all with me? God's love is not based on us. God's love is placed on us. See, if God's love is based on us, it means you have to earn it. You have to be good enough for him to love. You have to cross enough T's and dot enough I's for God to love. You have to have a certain moral and ethical love. And you can always be in your mind, how much do I have to do to be loved by God? How good do I have to be loved by God? Because that will be earning his love. But we don't earn God's love, because the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. And that's what 1 John 3 was saying. He lavished, he bestowed his love. So you don't earn it. You're not qualified. You haven't merited it. You haven't deserved it. You haven't earned it. But I love you anyway. People always say, most human beings love on a basis of, I love you if. I love you if you meet certain qualifications. Or, I love you because. I love you because you already meet them. Or I love you if you want me. That's what human beings love. But God says, I love you, period. I just place my love upon you. So every morning, amen, in the time you spend with God, you spend time with a God that's willing to lavish and pour out and bestow his love upon you. And the God that loved you so much, he sang about you. And the God that loved you so much, he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary cross for you. God is generous with his love. I tell you why I know he's generous. Because of what he, you can tell, amen, he's generous because of what he gave. He didn't give us some little something. He gave his only begotten son. And then his son gave his life on Calvary's cross. And then the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And if you really look at your life, I don't care what manner of life you had, you realize how much you love me. I realize. I can see how much you love me. Because it's not always in what you have. I like that scripture in 1 John 3, because it says, the world don't know you. Sometimes the world look at things that make people powerful in the world, positions, possessions, pleasure, power, and they just, oh yeah, that person got it going on. Then they look at you. Don't have a lot of possessions. Well, most of us. Don't have a lot of power, a lot of position. You don't have none of this stuff. And they look at you and say, they don't know anybody too much. And then it says they don't know you. You ever heard this the term? Sometimes people say that when they couldn't go to battle. When they have a division with each other. It may look like, you know, a person may look like, you know, they might be all that. And then another one might be, he may not look like all that. But he'll say, you don't know me. Right. And sometimes, he said, this world don't know you because they didn't even know me. Jesus said, the world don't know how really powerful, great, magnificent you are. They didn't know me. Yeah, yeah. When I came to be the Savior, they didn't know who I was.
Yes, sir.
The world was looking at you, but God knows who you are, who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when they looked at probably how Jesus is today. I got one thing I do. I just tended the sheep. We looked at our best ones. And God said, no, they're not the one. They're not the one. Here comes David. God is, oh, that's the one. Because God knows you. And you can tell David was the one because when the giant came, what the other brothers was out there, but listen to Goliath talk about their God. But here comes David. So wait a minute. Why are y'all not doing something? He's talking about our God. Why haven't somebody done something about this? And Daniel is looking, oh, David, you don't know nothing about no war. Get on with me. But see, he didn't know David.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what he really told Goliath. Goliath, you don't know me. You better ask the bear.
Yes, sir.
You better ask the bear. You better ask the lion. You better ask somebody because you don't know me.
Yes, sir.
When God loves is up on a person, when God loves a person, you better be careful about messing with him.
That's right. Thank you.
Because he'll send it off and arrest you.
That's right.
Oh, I wish I had a witness.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's how good he is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If God be for us.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about when his love is on. If God is for us, who can? Be a gift.
Yes, sir.
When God's on your side,
yes,
God loves you.
Thank you.
Who can be against us? That's why when all kinds of calamities come in your life, but you're living on your love.
All right.
You don't worry about calamities.
Yes, sir.
You just put them calamities in God's hand.
Yes. Thank you.
He's the same God that brought you through other calamities.
Yes, sir.
He's the same God that brought you through the other tests.
Yes, sir.
That's why you got a testimony.
Uh-huh.
He's the same God that brought you to the other mess.
Right.
That's why you got a message.
Right.
You better tell somebody the next time in that calamity, in that issue, in that thing come up against you. Wait a minute. You don't know about me.
Right. Amen.
I'm loved by God. It's dangerous.
Yes, sir.
To stand and get somebody loved by God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Think about it. When you have loved ones that you care about, and somebody comes against you,
right? It's gonna be a problem. It's gonna be a problem.
Yes, sir.
It could be dangerous.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But us sometimes things come that you may not be able to overpower, but we're limited.
Yes, sir.
But God,
yes, sir.
God ain't got no limits.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I just went fool with God, so. I know the story in the Bible. Remember the first one? They had this bald headed preacher. Is that a Bible? A bald headed preacher. And the folks started messing with him. Don't want to rock. And God took care of him. And if you think you're a bald headed preacher, oh Lord. Don't mess with people who God loves. And I really need you to know that. Because as you go through the circumstances and situations in your life, as you go through health issues and marriage issues, and financial issues, and job issues. As you go through issue after issue, you have to know that your love and his love makes you brave.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
The song says, you make me brave. I don't know if y'all hear it, but the song says that you make me brave. And then in that song says, your love washes over me. It's coming like waves. When you love like that, mm-hmm. It makes you brave. Oh, you don't have to be scared. Because you know God. Perfect love casts. Perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah.
How you get love, Derek? You get love when you begin your day by getting love by God. Having love lavished upon you. That's a great part. And thirdly, when you're with God in that morning, whenever you're with Him, morning is good, but some people, if you're not one person, maybe late at night before you go to bed. However you wish to do. They want to work a little bit, may work so different for you. Listen, you also get the delight in His, you get the delight in His glory. In all that He is. That's what His glory is. His glory is everything that He is. So you just think, come on, everything, how good, all His goodnesses. You get delight in all of His goodnesses. So that's why most times, I don't know how you do. But for me, you know, I use it, play a little gospel, maybe something I can identify with. Especially pain to tell how much God loves me, how much God is for me, and how much God got my back. And I start out my morning listening to that. You can't have a good day starting out your day getting all that beat by beat. Car changing car, loosening your engine parts. Maybe you don't wonder why your car not working right. Or you don't loosen up all your engine parts listening to that beat by beat. Then you see on the sideline. Right? Hey, you on the side of the road. You know, beat by beat. Your car won't run anymore. But then start out with some music talking about how good and how great God is and how much God loves you. You get lavish in His love. You remember that same thing you did when you was in love with a person? You put on that love music. And you just think about that person. Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's what you mean? Yeah. I don't know who's saying this, but they know what I feel about. Amen. And then, you know, you come home, all of you know, you're upset before you come with. What's up when you see y'all upset? And you now you get ready to call her or him. I got to get upset right. So you go put it on. Put on a little wine. I've got them right now. Then when you call, you got all the whole minute. You know, pause the thing, you got the words now. Because you got to start. Now, if it worked in a human relationship, it'll work for God.
Yes, sir.
You need to remind yourself how much God, it's an intimate relationship between you and God.
Come on, man. Come on.
And you got to use music to set your day. Listen here. Because people have told you that you were worthless, no good. They set you aside and walk on you and said all manner of evil against you. And temptations running through your mind. You play up to yourself over and over again. You are playing up things back and forth until you get to believe in the tape. So what you have to do in the morning is you got to play tape about truth.
Yes, sir.
Who you are in God, who God is in you, what God is to you, what God is doing for you, and in you, and through you.
Amen.
You just can't see. You got to take the lie. You got to replace the lie.
Amen.
With the truth.
Because right.
What you've been listening to is fake news about you.
Amen.
Anytime you hear fake news about you, then that's the one time you need to be like President Trump. Anytime somebody says fake news, you say, wait a minute. That's fake news, devil. That's fake news. That's not true. I am somebody. I am a child of God. I am loved. There is somebody that got in my back. I am worthwhile. I am valuable. I am beautiful. Wait, but get me there right. Because you know what will happen? You can tell you did. If you don't do that, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You won't go to the job. And somebody's going to say something to you.
Come on now.
And you will overreact. You got to get yourself ready for your day. So when they come with that crazy talk, you need it, what you're looking for is somebody to come up to you and show love for you.
Right.
You need to be loved. You need to be. Because remember, you didn't get love that God had for you. So now you're trying to get love from the crowd. And if you stand there and nobody comes to you, you start feeling like you're not worth love. Because nobody comes over to say anything or do anything loving to you. So when you came in the room because you were so needy, you became the center of your own attention. And now that nobody is paying attention to you, you feel like you're not worthy of attention. You hear what I'm saying? Because you need it. But now, the difference is, when you get filled by God, filled with God, this is what I call living love. When you've been loved by God for a few minutes, because, see, that's the time you spent one-on-one. And he's not going to stop loving you when you go from the quiet time in the morning. He's going to still be loving you throughout the day. And you got to keep that focus on your mind and live love. So when you feel love and God has filled you with his love, when you go in the room, you go in a room with a different attitude. Now when you're in the room, you say, who's here alone? Who's here that needs somebody to encourage them? Who's in this room that's by themselves and being ignored? Because I've been loved this morning. It's my opportunity now to go and show God love for that person.
Yeah.
See, you in the room with a whole different attitude. Mm-hmm. When you live, you say, okay, what can y'all do for me?
Yeah, all right.
But when you feel, you say, what can I do for you?
Yes, sir.
God to love me, so now I got to show God love for you. And that, you ought to definitely come to church with that attitude. Don't come to church saying, what can the church do for me? When you come to the gathering, you need to say, okay, God, I got filled with God. I got filled with it. So now I need to look around, see if somebody's down. See if somebody's having a hard time. See if somebody's trying to push their way through. See if somebody's trying to make it. Then I need to be an encouragement. That's why it's so important to be filled before you minister.
Yes.
Because your ministering is empowered if you need it. You need it. You go down to the mobile food pantry. You want to help, distribute the food. But you need. So you're not bound to be a blessing to those with food insecurities. You know who you're down there to get blessed? You're down there to get a blessing for you.
Come on.
Amen.
You want somebody to see you and say how good this thing you are doing is. How good it is of you to come down and pass out and hand out and give out food to the needy. And you feel a sense of superiority, all good. Come down here and do all this. Good. And you want people to tell you you're good. You're not down. So, in other words, you're not down for the needs of the people. You're down to meet your own needs. Somebody to look at you and admire you for what you do. You're not dying in the car somebody else is hurting, somebody else is going without, and you. So, and then when people don't admire you, When to take the hair up. Don't drop my stuff. Nikki, bad at you. If you were there for you,
amen.
You said, wait a minute. They should be taking me. They should be saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But if you're there for them, it's okay. It's okay. Because it ain't about me. I already been filled. I already been filled this morning when I spent time with God.
Yeah.
I don't need you to feel me. I'm already got my. I need to pour out on somebody. So then the person that's carrying you and insulting you and treating you bad, you can still be a blessing with your word to them. You can encourage them. You can bless them, they curse you.
Yeah.
But you can't bless them to curse you if you're running on empty. Problem is, a lot of times we live lives like that. So rather, you say you're a minister, but what you're really doing, you're begging somebody to give you some love scraps. You know what scraps are, what you're doing? Square after all the good stuff gone, throw out the scraps. You said, I'm so desperate to be loved, I'm so empty.
God have mercy.
That if you can just throw me some love scraps. And God's saying, why do you need scraps?
Yeah, amen.
When I can lavish my love out on you.
Yeah.
And all you want is, you're doing all that to get scraps. And you can stop by me and I can love you like you deserve to be loved.
Yeah.
I can place my love upon you. He won't love you like you deserve. He'll love you way better. He'll just blow your mind with his love. So you live love. When you live with that, knowing how much God loves you. I think that's why Paul in Ephesians prays that we can know how the depth, height, all the dimensions of God's love. And then he said, once you know all the dimensions, you'll be filled. When you understand how much God loves you, you'll feel. And you won't have to look for people to throw you scraps. So it's just like it's the difference between Paul praying and the Pharisees praying. The Pharisees prayed to be seen and the applause of the people. The Pharisees, amen, did not feel love because he tried to earn it and he realized when he blew it, I did answer, God should love me. So therefore, he tried to get people love by saying eloquent prayer.
Yeah.
Get people applause, people scraps. But Paul had already understood. Paul been loved by God. So in all his letters, he's been praying for the people he's discipling, praying for those in the churches that he started, praying for the churches he planted. You see the difference is? When you're needy, you're grieved. And your greed impairs your ability to meet the need. Because you're talking about people, ain't about you.
Yes.
That's good in your marriage.
Absolutely.
That's good in your relationship with children. It's not what you get, it's what you give. It's good for the church. When you come to church, you will spend time with God, you come as a contributor.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't spend time with God, you come as a consumer, what you can eat. Come with the getting if you don't get the right thing. Can't church for what I can get. That choir is saying like I want them to sing.
Right, right.
You complain all the way on.
Right.
Sermon too long, Pastor. You complain, so you probably complain a lot. You complain all the way on. Hell too long. They too long. It don't take all that to praise God. Why? Because you came for what you can give, not what you can give. Nobody knows my birthday. I'm trying to remember. Amen. You know what I'm saying? So, it's not about us. It's about the ones we're ministering to.
Amen.
Jesus says, he calls out, he chooses these 12. But it's not only for the 12. I think it's really for all of us. This lesson is for all of us. I need you, but I want you to go out, and what I want you to do, I can't say it like I want to say it, is love people till they get right. Love people. Talk about casting out demons. Love them till they get right. It's different things. I'm going to get you to do to help them to get right. Amen. Other thing, because you will have apostolic power. But before you do all that, before you go to ministry, first stop by for intimacy.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Stop by and spend some time with me. I can tell you right now, and I said it because I know it myself. If you never have time for intimacy, then your ministry is going to be impacted. Changes your whole day. I can tell people who spend time with me in church. I ain't gonna say nothing about it. I just pray for them. Lord, help me spend more time with you. Amen. Now, I pray for myself. Because sometimes you can see yourself. Listen, we all have trouble. Oh, I'm trying to think of a word with it. When you have struggles and you're living love, they call it struggling well. When you struggle well, then you got victory. You got victory. You most of the time you're victorious. There's some things in your life that you are vulnerable to, but because you've been loved well and spent time with God, you get victory. And because you're loved by God so much, even when you're blown, you don't wait a long time to repent. You repent as quick as possible and get back on the right road. That's struggling well. But now when you get to the point where you're unrepentant, you know you're not living the way God wants you to do.
My Lord.
You're really not interested in it right now. You just want to live like you want to live.
Right.
You ain't been spending no time. If you got a lot of fear, spend some more time with it. Perfect love. Perfect love. You spend enough time with me, you come out as braver. Because you know, hey, God loves me, got all power, he for me. If anything he lets come in my life that's negative, he's going to use the negative for power. Some of you won't rejoice in that. Because I know he loves me. Live love every day. Because when you live love every day, you can minister. And when you minister, we gather for his glory, but there's also after we gather here at church on the third day of the week, the rest of the week, we scatter. It's a sacred scatter. And when it's sacred, that means we scatter for God.
Amen.
Wherever you go, in your job, in your school, wherever you go, you're going to represent God. When you represent God, you are representing God. You represent him by representing. Let me. It's like, anybody ever heard of re-gifting? That when somebody gives you a gift, somebody else. You see, Pastor, I sometimes it needs to be somebody, one of my relatives. You know, Pastor, kind of, you know, my fashion taste, I'm kind of neutral. I wear grays and blues and blacks and whites and beige. No gold. Red. Amen. I wear basic kind of stuff and subdued kind of stuff and two or three buttons. Two buttons, three buttons. I don't wear about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months. Let's do flashing. That's not the word. Wear classy. Wear classy. Don't wear trim. Wear stuff that they can wear. It was in style in the 50s and 60s because it never goes out of style. They don't want to buy a new style. Trim, you got to buy it out of style. And so that's where. But now I had a relative that wanted to kind of change my style. And they be buying me that loud stuff. they have me looking like a Billy Ray drop. They won't be looking like Billy Ray drop. And I said, oh no. I keep that stuff in my closet for about a year, and then I re-gift it to somebody else. Then I don't like them loud stuff. I'm not going to wear no red suits. I'm not going to wear no gold suits. I'm not going to wear all these loud colors. I'm not a loud person. I'm not going to wear a lot of fun. So I re-gifted it to somebody else. Well, I'm trying to tell you that when you spend time with God, when you have intimacy with God, and God lavishes his love out on you, when he gives you the gift of his love poured out, the way we represent God is because we re-gift the love that he's given to us to others that need it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
God, you gave me too much. Sometimes it's not that something. It's not something. It's not that it's something you don't like. But sometimes you got too much of.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I got too many. And I got, sometimes you get 2 minutes and I can give them somebody. I got 2 minutes. God, you don't lavish your love. You just keep lavishing me with your love. So I need to re-gift the love that you gave to me to somebody else. What you've done for me, the generosity I've seen in your grace and love, let me lavish that in my job, in my neighborhood, in my community, in my family. The love you give me, can I give that love to somebody else? Re-gift it. This Christmas, amen, think about how God has loved you and you re-gift that love to us. Somebody needs love. All of us need love.
Amen.
So if he loved you, and I know he has, re-gift it. Because when you re-gift it, that's your way of glorifying God. He said, do all you do to my glory. When you read, when you are loving and kind and gracious toward people and encouraging, and you're there for them, because you can re-gift to other people. Have you re-gifted this little lady? I think I'm unit. When I spend time in unit, just give me, wow, will you love? Because I remember how I was before I got loved like this. Before I learned to live his love. Before I learned to live out of that love, I remember what I felt. How I felt like I wasn't on the team. How I felt like I was overlooked. How I felt like I wasn't, you know, I don't know the guy who was playing basketball and football, and what you do, you choose people, you know, you get two probably the best players, and you choose everybody. I want you on my team, Now, if it's like 11 people, and they get 5, then you just say, easy, Lord, don't let me. Don't let me. I don't mind, I don't have to be number one. Can I be like these 3, 4, 5? Because when you get that, you want to be picked, at least to be on your team, because when you don't get picked, before I realized God picked me. get on, why would you get down if you didn't get creeped by the buffalo bee? But you got picked, say, you got picked by the New Orleans Saints. You didn't get picked by them, but you got picked by Peter 9-1. They said, we want you, we need you. You said, oh. You ain't going to feel bad about not getting picked by the Buffalo Bees. You glad you didn't get picked.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes you really see what God is doing for your life. You glad you didn't. Oh.
Right.
I'm glad you didn't pick me.
Right.
Amen. That time passed. You glad you didn't get on that team.
Right.
You said bad time. You feel set aside, but sometimes when you feel set aside, you weren't set aside, you were set apart. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. God set you apart because he wanted to do something with you, because he wanted to take you somewhere. Amen. And the person you wanted to be with or the people you wanted to be with couldn't go. You think you were, set aside with it. Oh. God said, hey, the reason why they set you aside, it was in my plan that when they set you aside, I'll take you and I'll set you apart. And when you're set apart, I'm going to do something in your life that your life will go way further than you would have went if you were with me. I want to take you to the Super Bowl. You just want to be on the losing team. I want to take you higher. I want to do something great with your life. Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank
you. Thank you for being set aside.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank you that I'm not with that group there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a folk you live on the street as you live other. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
They kind of overlook me, but they're all in jail now in the graveyard. Oh, but the reason why they didn't want to hang with him, amen, something. But the reason I because I wasn't going in the direction they were going. So, amen, I was set, amen. When they set me off to the side, God said, that's all right. That's why you don't need to be with them. They're on their way to the grave, God. They're on their way to the death. They ain't going where they ain't about nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need that scratch.
Amen.
You need to be with somebody going somewhere.
Amen. That's true.
Because you're on your way, son. I got a plan for your life.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you. And they can't go where I'm going to take you. They ain't interested in where I'm going to take you. Now, once I get you where I'm going to take you, don't forget about me. Because I may have one or two of them that need to be where you at then. But I need to take you there for, and then have you come back and talk to them. Praise your name. ministry without agents. Because you will make it all about you. And when it don't work out right, you will overreact. When the response ain't right, you will overreact. But you're going to get filled. Go get filled. Go get filled. Feel it. Feel it. I want to know your love. I want to know how much you love me. I want to spend time with you. I want to know you, Lord. Somebody else needs me. Experience.